And they can, okay, go ahead. All right, good afternoon. It's a little after 1:30 on April 6th, 2010. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission. Kevin Kramer, along with Brian Kalk and Tony Clark, a meeting to discuss in a work session, case number PU1019. The work session is on Northern State Power Company's sales of renewable energy credits tariff, or something like that. Larry and Mike are here from staff as well. Larry, I understand this is your good work. You've prepared a very good outline of the issues and a good memorandum, so we appreciate that. And with that, any opening comments from my colleagues?
No. Just a comment. What's the goal we're looking for here today? What do you want from us to come out of this that would really help? Because I read through the stuff, and I'm trying to figure out what you want to get to and what time frame we're looking at. And
suspect we're going to suspend.
Yeah.
Well,
but beyond that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but that's, you know,
oh,
boom.
Was that on the last consent?
We suspended it back in the 26th was our first one, but was that a different case?
And then we put this on the admin schedule at a commission meeting, and it was decided to have a work session.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rather than discuss it much more at the admin itself. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is somewhat urgent because we don't, you know, I mean, XL wants some direction and they want to know what to do, and we want to give them some direction before they do something we don't want them to do, would be the way I would summarize.
Right.
And what, you know, I know what I don't want them to do, but I'd be interested in hearing what others might have to say about it. But Larry, you did an excellent job of outlining the issues. I appreciate that. How would you like to proceed, Commissioner Kalk?
Well, that was my question, I guess, is the short of, I mean, do we have some proposals that are short of what they want to do, they being Excel? Or, I mean, what your thoughts are on that? And
well, let's discuss maybe the options.
Yeah. Before we do that, just so I understand our administrative code, the credits are currently not includable under the
That word caught my attention.
Yeah. Under the administrative code, does that mean we'd have to revise the code, or is there a little wiggle language in there that allows us to make adjustment?
I believe there is a wiggle language. Is that the term?
Yes. Wiggle language as far as what's includable.
I believe in the filing, Excel made reference to administrative code 69-09-02-39.10.
Okay.
And it reads, I don't know if it's spelled out in the filing, but I did pull the language from the admin code, and it reads, if a particular circumstance prevents the use of a standard or its use would result in an undue burden, the commission may, for good cause shown, permit deviation from a standard.
Okay, like, say that one more time.
Like wiggle language.
Yeah, say that again.
It's includable. If a particular circumstance prevents the use of a standard or its use would result in an undue burden, the commission may, for good cause shown, permit deviation from a standard.
Okay.
I believe that's what they made reference to in the filing.
Yeah.
Good cause if burdensome.
So they're looking, right now, the language in the administrative code for the fuel cost adjustment doesn't specifically include or allow for the inclusion of this type of revenue.
Oh.
On this type of.
Oh.
I think it's the burden part. I think it's the first four or five words.
Right?
Read
it
again. Just the first.
First. If a particular circumstance prevents the use of a standard or its use would result in an undue burden. I think right now they're looking
prevents
for
the use. Yeah.
Waiver from
a brand new
existing language to allow that.
Burden of revenue only applies if its actual use creates the burden, not its lack of use.
Oh,
I got it.
Yeah,
okay, and that gives us latitude.
Good.
Okay.
Well, Larry, do you want to walk us through the proposals and perhaps opine a little bit on each?
The filing is basically a request by Xcel Energy for a pilot program in North Dakota, and they also filed, my understanding is the same filing in South Dakota as well, to sell excess renewable energy credits that would be allocated to North Dakota jurisdiction. And then with these revenues, credit North Dakota customers through the fuel cost rider.
Here's what I'm a little unclear about, though. Sell excess renewable credits, but there is no need.
Or retire the.
But why would, what's the point of excess when there's really no. There's no requirement to.
Yeah, right now they're proposing is they're looking at their renewable energy portfolio no different than their conventional resources. They're allocating them amongst their jurisdictions, the costs as well as the ability now with these, as well as any sales that they make from their conventional resources,
sure,
as well as renewable resources. And yeah, what they're proposing with the renewable resources, take that the allocated portion of North Dakota and they're able to sell those, then. Mm-hmm. Those revenues could be applied back to North Dakota customers.
Sure, I like that. Yeah.
And in the proposal, they're assuming that there's no need to retire any of these RECs until 2015, because that objective doesn't start until that 10% objective doesn't start until that point. So they're assuming that up to that point they can basically sell all of them,
mm-hmm,
that are available for sale, and then after 2015 they're proposing to retire enough RECs to show compliance with the REO in North Dakota.
Why would you, and I'm not questioning you, I'm for Xcel, why would you retire something and turn a goal into a mandate?
Because they're looking in the filing, they're looking for
the commission for guidance on that. I think they left that open for you to discuss that with as well.
Well, if the alternative is between a credit toward rates versus feeling good about complying with an REO, I'll take the credit toward rates. If that's overly simplistic, but
no, I think it's right. I mean, the way that I read a legislative goal is the legislature is saying if you're able to meet this standard, it's a good thing to be working towards. But the reason that, now I'm sort of reading between the lines, the reason we've made it a goal or an objective as opposed to a mandate is we want you to first and foremost follow all those other laws that we have about having the most reasonably priced service you've got,
right,
that you can provide. So it's at the end of the day, if a judgment needs to be made between price and meeting the goal, you meet the statute first, which is basically a low-cost resource statute.
I would agree.
Well, yeah, when I read through it, kind of the same thing you did, is that this is almost a no-brainer. If they're going to put money back in, less bills, that's great. But how about the math of, why 85% and 15%? What ability do we have to flush that out? Because that's the next thing, is why not give it all back?
Well, it's somewhat arbitrary, but it's also based on rich tradition of that's been the formula we've used in the past for any sale of asset-based
resources
or non-asset-based. Yeah. but your point is right. Even that is somewhat arbitrary. Just because it's traditional doesn't necessarily mean it is right.
It's to give them an incentive.
If you've got to have an incentive to do it.
Where it came about was in off-system sales from a coal plant. Where you're able to sell into the market, and 85% goes to the customers, our thinking was back in these cases, because customers are basically paying for that asset. The reason to have 15% go to the utility company is if you have 100% go to customers, there is an incentive for the utility to maybe not work particularly hard at marketing it. So you give them incentive to market it well, and hopefully they both benefit.
Then those numbers can be flushed out if need be, what exactly that turns out to be. And if it then do we go back and look at these every once in a while? Or once the sale is done, I guess it's done.
Well, you know, is 15 the right number to start with?
You mean the percentage or how they are marketing it itself?
The percentage.
Yeah, if it turns out that, 10% would have been plenty of incentive,
right.
Maybe we should have kept five more.
Or maybe they should have got
20%. Or maybe it wasn't enough, yeah.
I don't know.
They argue this is a new market and it's going to take a little extra effort to make transactions since it isn't a liquid market yet.
And so they thought 15, given our tradition, seemed like the right number, and we don't know better.
I think it's
seemed reasonable, but you're right.
Can we assign, given what dollar amounts we're talking about here overall,
mm-hmm.
how many dollars are they talking about we're dealing with here of 85%? I mean, what is the dollars?
They didn't include that in their filing. I think they indicated that was one of the waivers they wanted to. I guess that's part of waive that rule. They're supposed to, I showed Mike that I was, they're in the filing, they were saying that because it's such an immature market, they really don't know how that'll shake out.
There is no market, so
bilateral agreements is what they'll have to do.
So yeah. I would say that it's going to be small. So 15% of a small number now. Now, will it grow?
It's small, 100,000, 1 million. We're talking with XL Energy.
Well, XL Energy's on the phone. I think it's next to nothing. We can ask XL Energy if you like. They're on the phone.
Well, I just would like to know what numbers we're doing. If we're going to be dealing with 15%, are we talking?
I think to put it in perspective, though, that whatever the numbers are, they're most assuredly less than what they were selling in off-system sales from coal-based.
Well, that's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would think.
I would think so, too.
Fair assumption.
What I was getting at, though, for Brian is that
maybe not Excel, but like MDU in the years when they were really able to market
okay.
off-system sales, and this would pale in comparison to that.
This will grow, especially if we have cap and trade and that kind of stuff. But so we will have opportunities in the future to look at bigger dollars. But Excel's online, so.
You want to ask him?
Just to clarify, on the January 26th memo, Larry, you laid out the four elements of NSP's proposal. Are these... This is assuming after 2015, is that right? I mean, before 2015, everything is, did you say it's being banked and held, or it's being sold right away?
This would apply, I think, to before, up to 2015. And
rules changed in 2015.
It says it has four elements, so...
So the
RECs are allocated among NSP state jurisdiction. Okay, simple enough. We get roughly 5%. And then number two, we'll document compliance with North Dakota's REO by retiring RECs from a pool of active RECs allocated to the North Dakota jurisdiction.
Cool. That would be 2015, yes.
Okay. So after 2015, they're going to be doing that. Now, between now and 2015, are they just banking all the RECs that they get, or are they being retired on a periodic basis? I mean, not retired, but being sold on a periodic basis? Or
that's what they would like to do, yes.
Okay, so it's a year-by-year
Yeah, I was looking. In their filing, they're estimating about 300,000 RECs, which is like, I believe, 300,000 megawatt hours. Again, if Excel's out there to correct me, please do. And they're estimating by 2015 be about 450,000 megawatt hours. RECs would be equal to megawatt hours, yes. So I don't know what no idea what the price is for a REC, but that would be the volume we're looking at.
Okay.
So there's no way, back to we're talking about, no way to easily say by doing this, the customer could expect a decrease of this cost by doing this. There's no way to figure that out given the market pricing variability.
It might be volatile, too. It might be volatile, too. Okay, they stressed that this is new. On the Otter Tail's renewable resource, on the different Otter Tail, I believe they're not even started doing this yet, selling RECs.
Can you back up for, if you could educate me, because I wasn't around here for these direct beginning, but, you know, how do we get here? And, you know, who says that we're going to do these? And to me, is it where we're at as a state, where we've had in many of our positions, this whole thing is something that, that we don't even need to be buying into, but we're here now. And so, you know, how do we walk down this road? And we're, if we make these steps, all of a sudden, are we saying now we agree with this road that we're on?
Well, now you're discussing even the value of an objective.
Exactly.
You know, is it the slippery slope that, is it just a feel-good compromise that the legislature said, well, these guys want to do something and I don't want to do that, so let's compromise and say something that in the end is kind of hard to manage.
I can say, Brian.
There's a separate issue of the wreck itself.
Right.
And that was just basically done so that North Dakota utilities have the ability to participate in the REC market. It had to be, if they choose to, that had to be authorized in state law so that there was someone tracking it.
And back to Basin's discussion, the format of how we report these, we're talking about that in separate discussions.
Yeah, that's a reporting format.
Yeah. Mike, you were going to throw something out?
Well, the genesis, I think, of this filing is over our concerns that all of these wind requirements in Minnesota are affecting us through the allocation process, and so NSP is attempting to give North Dakota some benefit of that wind generation in Minnesota or wherever it is, but that above what our objective is. And I think that was the genesis of this. It's not to say that we're going to agree to every wind farm that they come along and ask for, but...
And I think the concern that we're hearing on the... or that I have, and I think you may be hearing from the commission side, is that in setting up that structure, you could make a goal, a de facto... mandate.
That's what I worry about. It's implicit that somehow this has become a standard.
Yeah, that after 2015 they'll retire the 10%.
Yeah, because I like the idea of Xcel as being proactive when they're doing these things and they're trying to help out. It's just by what we do now, we set a stage that, well, we must meet this by 2015. That's exactly right. It doesn't help you as a lawyer.
I keep thinking we're going to come to our senses by 2015. As a country.
But that's a backing out of legislative processes, state and federal perhaps, that we walked into a few years ago. Right? So that would really
say that again.
There's really no way to back out of these wrecks as a state where we put the law in place and we...
No, nor would we necessarily want to. I mean, the wrecks themselves are you know, possible moneymakers for the...
Yeah, there's some value to them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's appropriate that RECs are recognized in state law. It's really a question of the mandate more than anything, goals versus mandates, I think.
I do, too.
Could we get clarification from Xcel on that question about what, and I think I understand what happens between now and 2015, but... Would they be able to clarify exactly how they...
Who's on the phone?
Dave?
Dave Cedarquist here in Fargo. We have Terry Clark from our renewable energy area and Sarah Cardwell from our regulatory administration group to respond to any questions you might have.
Hi, thanks, David. Was my question fairly clear that... So between now and 2015...
I can take a shot at it here. You can... fill in as well. We are looking for some direction from the commission on with respect to the RECs that are out there and that we've banked prior to 2015. We're certainly not suggesting that we must, even after 2015, retire all of the RECs. You know, we're looking for some interpretation from the commission as to where they would go. Would they like to have us sell all of these RECs or what we would consider, you know, the excess being anything over 10%, or so we're certainly open. It's not that we're suggesting that, you know, by retiring up to 10% that we're suggesting that this objective, you know, become that mandate that you talked about, Commissioner. So,
sure,
we're wide open on that. We'd like to hear what you guys would like to do. I thought in the earlier work session that was held a few weeks ago on the REO reporting, I had heard at that time that there was some interest in staff of selling, you know, all of the recs, and not having any of them retired even after the 2015 date. So, and I believe in South Dakota, their decision there was to sell all as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly the direction that I was heading coming out of that, and I don't know that there's much that's changed my personal opinion. Sell them all for the benefit of ratepayers, and you know, this question of whether there's sort of a profit share, I think we can cross that bridge. It's something to discuss.
Yeah, I think the reason for that is primarily the fact that these markets are very, very undeveloped. It's not easy, actually, to sell these things. I mean, there's a considerable amount of effort to get out and find buyers for these. And so,
in the South Dakota order, did they come up with some sort of sharing arrangement?
Yes.
Do you recall what the percentage was?
They decided on a 90-10 split, 10% incentive.
What did they base that 90-10 switch? I mean, what did they base that on? And we talked about here that historically this commission has been 85-15. I mean, just for discussion, how did they get to those numbers, and how do you base whether you're okay with that or not?
Yeah, I would characterize their rationale as, again, being just somewhat discretionary, just arbitrary even. We had proposed the 85-15 in South Dakota as well, and
that's the problem. You negotiated from the wrong point. No, I'm just teasing.
Well, yeah, we had thought, you know, I mean, based on, you know, our inter-system sales agreement,
the
last
rules.
Case, that the commission had some comfortability, I guess, with that kind of sharing, and so we were just using that as our starting point here. But again, we there may be a different number there that would work.
Dave, my understanding is there's North Dakota doesn't have a shelf life on these credits, so would your company's strategy be then, since there's really no market right now, to just hang on to those for a few years and hope that cap and trade goes into effect and we all go to the poorhouse, then you'd have you know, something to sell? Is that can you address that at all?
I'm going to ask Kerry, would you like to handle that in terms of what we might do initially with selling?
Sure. I think our objective is to try and find transactions in the market now and use this pilot as a way to get our feet wet, so as to say, in this market up there. And if we feel that, you know, by testing the waters, that the RECs aren't worth much now, then certainly we will hold on to them and wait.
Okay, so it's not a matter of
with any kind of market, especially with RECs, the longer you wait, the less value they seem to have.
Why is that?
Well, it's just because of the vintage of the RECs. In many states, a REC has a particular shelf life, meaning they can be used for compliance within a certain amount of time. And on the voluntary market, the shelf life is usually even shorter, like a year and a half to a year and 9 months. So people are looking for vintages of RECs that are either in the current year or for future years.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of counterintuitive in a way, because, you know, the thought is that this is offsetting carbon, which stays in the atmosphere, you know, has a long shelf life, right? I mean, that's what we're always told.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's the value is more based on the compliance requirements.
Sure. Okay, so it's not a matter of a set schedule of how many retire each year. It's really dictated by the market for the credit itself.
Yes.
Okay.
In the paper, in the pilot program, is there a date in here that this ends that I haven't found yet? Like you said, a pilot program, is this a 2-year pilot program, a 5-year pilot program, or is it just kind of an ongoing pilot program? That's, I guess, for Excel, question for Excel.
Yep.
I mean, do we button this up in a 3-year period, or?
We would continue this program as long as it was, you know, appropriate.
Then I don't know it would be called a pilot program if the goal is to keep it ongoing. Just a nuance, if you will.
I think part of the issue here, the unknown, is, you know, how will these markets develop over time? You know, will these RECs become, you know, more valuable with, you know, additional requirements or renewable energy standards and so?
Sure. I suppose one of the values of an indefinite pilot, if you will, would be that as some of that does develop, it's a little easier to change the rules. Maybe that 90-10 is the right number, or maybe 80-20 is, or whatever, as an example. You know.
And I mean, there is some value in my mind, too. If that's what was agreed to in South Dakota, it's in the ballpark, I'd probably be okay with the same numbers here.
Yeah.
Being that this is just an straight allocation across the jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get a worse deal for our consumers than they got for theirs.
Do we put it, this is for, I guess, for staff more than anything, I agree with what Tony is saying, and that this is a good idea, we get it all put together, but you know, why don't we force a review of this 12 months from now or 18 months from now that so it is a true pilot program, that we don't just leave that 18 months from now, if you haven't done anything on it, then maybe we change something. Or if you've done a lot on it, maybe we change something.
We can just end the order a report on the program and
okay.
whenever, and that causes the commission to review it at that point.
Yep. We can, and we can always want to leave the option of reviewing it any time we
want to.
Are compelled by some circumstance.
It's not a bad idea to
have
just put it in there so that
sure.
You're thinking 2 years, 3 years?
I think 24 months.
A legislative committee may want an update on it anyway at some point.
And then you're looking at 90-10. You're thinking of a 90-10 split then as well?
Yep.
Well, yeah. On behalf of the ratepayers of the North part of the territory.
Dakota Territory.
So a question for Excel again. I mean, do you have any idea, give me your best guess of what one REC is worth today? If you were to try to sell something, I mean, what number are you looking at that you would consider a good price that you would make some kind of movement on?
You know, a MISO wind REC or a National Greenie REC are trading around $1.50. So probably, you know, if we could get something over $1.50, we might try a transaction.
So $300,000. That's $450,000. Then if they sold all of them.
Okay.
For the entire company.
Hmm? All right. Thank you.
For the entire company.
No, for ours, North Dakota.
All right. Anything else, Larry?
Talking about the, and Alana will get on my case if I don't ask, is about the fuel cost rider with the waiver on that.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think Otter Tail was, when they do this, they're going to plan on putting it through that that resource recovery. That
renewable rider.
G factor.
Well, can we do it this way? I mean, in the... I would say, we can always take a look at it. In fact, maybe we even order that in the next rate case, whenever that is, from NSP. But in the absence of a rate case, put it in this rider. I hate the idea of, you know, just tacking more and more things onto the rider and not putting some sort of language on there that that puts some bounds on it. So maybe we allow it pending the next rate case.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which would be similar to how we've handled Otter Tails.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they're planning on, not that they haven't come before the commission yet with that, but I did read that.
Okay. Anything else?
Maybe just a closing comment for Excel. I mean, this is Brian. I mean, I really appreciate what you're doing and bringing this stuff in front of us. So, you know, don't take that, you know, the questions about this whole, the national stage. It's how it relates to us in North Dakota is more what, I guess, my personal concerns on are. But I really, you know, appreciate you getting this stuff in front of us so it can flush out the debate as this lays out over the next, you know, 12, 14, 16 months is really, I think, how this will all play out.
Yeah, I actually think it presents a wonderful illustration
in
many respects.
You've got a tough world to operate in, so we, you know.
We'd like to make it tougher. We like to complicate the simplicity of your lives. Anything else? If not, we'll close the work session. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Dave, Terry, Sarah.